We come to the final church in Balclody Union at this point, Kilrush, one of the small number of churches in this diocese dedicated to Bridget, one of the great three Irish saints, the others being Patrick and Columba, and I've talked before about some churches dedicated to Columba. Bridget is in many ways, understandably, a kind of icon and point of focus for celebration of women's ministry. And it's worth just reflecting at this point about the richness of the ministry of women in the diocese in so many contexts, lay and ordained, but in particular, we rejoice that it is now 30 years since women were first in the Church of Ireland ordained as priests. And so we pray for all those who are in priests' orders and who are women among us. In 1952, provision in Ireland was made by statute for the first time for the legal adoption of children. Previously, there'd been informal arrangements that hadn't legal protection, kind of informal fosterage, where people had more children than they could afford to bring up. Sometimes they simply fostered them out to relatives who might themselves have been childless. But in 1952, it was legalised. But one of the complications was that the adopters had to be of the same religion as a child and usually its mother. And so a married couple adopting, they both had to be in effect of the same religion as the child. And this for many years created problems for inter-church couples. Certain Protestant denominations, including the Church of Ireland, grouped together for the purposes of meeting the provisions of the law. And so came the Protestant Adoption Society, which evolved into what was called PACT. But the legalisation of adoption opens a window on huge issues in the 1950s, in many ways an uncomfortable decade where there was a great deal of hypocrisy beneath the veneer. And this manifested itself not least in terms of how a supposedly very godly society treated, on, as they would have put it, unmarried mothers. One considers the number of babies born outside wedlock, the lack of contraception, the social stigma and virtual impossibility of being a single parent, and the stigma placed on the child too through the concept of illegitimacy. There were those dreadful mother and baby homes, which I don't really need to try to describe. They're beyond words in many ways. There was the export from them of babies to other countries. And the extraordinary view of those born outside wedlock was that even the Church of Ireland Archbishop of Dublin of the day thought that what he called illegitimate children were almost bound to be less healthy than others. There was, of course, the positive side of it. There were the number of couples who did largely happily adopt, because at that time there was no other way of dealing with childlessness. There wasn't the knowledge of assisted fertility and so on that we have now. And it was very much a feature of my childhood that many of the children around me, including in school, had been adopted. Subsequently, the source of babies to be adopted became procured more by so-called foreign adoptions in countries like China. And behind all of this, and a less happy side of it altogether in the context of unplanned or unsought pregnancy, was the awfulness of the backstreet abortionists. Now so much of this has changed utterly, essentially for the better. Mothers almost invariably keep their babies. There is much better pregnancy counselling. Those who were adopted long ago very often have a chance to be reunited with their birth mothers, although issues about data and achieving this desire remain and remain sensitive. There is a very tiny number nowadays of adoption orders. But the legalization of adoption in 1950s Ireland is a huge piece of social history, full of stories both painful and wonderful. And I almost hesitate to speak of it, really, because in almost every place there are probably people around who know far more about it in their own stories than I ever will.